Okay, tonight is Monday night, February 13th, or 18th day of the month of Shvat. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Daf Yud Beis Omud Aleph and Maseches Moed Katan.
Okay, Rabotai, before we continue, about five lines from the Mishnah, just one Ha'ara on last week's Shir. The Gemara had said, let's read the lines again. The Gemara said, exactly in the middle of the page on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, we read this last week, Tana Rabbana, the Gemara cited a Braisa, Ein Marbiyin Behema Becholo Shel Moed, you are not permitted to bring one animal on top of another on Cholo Shel Moed for the purpose of trying to create a child. Kayotze bo, similarly, ein marbiyin bebechor velo bepsulei hamukdashin. You are not permitted under any circumstances during the week or any other time to engage in harba'ah. The Torah uses that expression, lo sarbiyah kilayim, harba'ah. When you bring kilayim is when you mate two different types of animals, which is prohibited. Here, it means even within the same category, but one is a bechor, and the other one, and the other category is kudshin, because the Torah tells us that you are not permitted to work them, you're not permitted to shear their wool, you're not permitted to milk them, you're not permitted to do anything other than eat them. Tizbach, and the drashes, tizbach ve'achalta, velo legiza, velo la'avoda. However, there is an interesting machloikis between the Mishnah Lamelech and the Chassam Sofer about the Iser of Harba'ah. And we'll see how the Minchas Chinuch weighs in on this as well. So if you take the first sheet, I didn't number it, but it's page number one, where it says on the top, Mishnah Lamelech, this is Hilchos Me'ila, Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. So the Rambam writes, the Asur Laharbiya Bebechor O Psulei Hamukdashim. And he will write, if you go to exactly in the middle, again, I'm sorry, I didn't bracket it. It says in the middle, where it says in the middle of the page, V'divrei Rabbeinu Halalu Heim Braisa Mefureshes Beperek Beis Demoed Katan. See right, the parentheses over there, Daf Yud Beis, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Marbiyin Behema Becholo Shel Moed, Kayotze Bo Ein Marbiyin Bebechor Velo Bepsuei HaMekdashim. The Hadam Muvuar, and the reason why it is prohibited by Bechor and Psulei HaMekdashin, Demitam Isur Melacha Naguba, that it violates the edict of doing a Melacha. Now how do I know that bringing one animal on top of another constitutes a Melacha? What malacha would it entail? Why would that be considered a work violation? Says the Mishnah Lamelech, because it's dumya the Yisur de Chol HaMoed. If the first brisa says you are not permitted to do so on Chol HaMoed, must be that there's got to be some shmek of an Yisur malacha. Otherwise, why would you be prohibited to do it on Chol HaMoed? Okay, could have been tircha. That's correct. In fact, we learned last week that some Rishonim said that precisely was the Isur. Because it's not easy moving and steering an animal to lie on top of another one. But the Mishnah Lamelech doesn't accept that. The Mishnah Lamelech says that the nature of the prohibition is an Isur Melacha, by Cholosho Moed. Therefore, it has relevance to Bechor and Kachin. If it was simply Tircha Yisera, the Gemara's comparison or bringing the subsequent brisa for Bechor and Mukdashin would have very little sense. Why am I quoting this in Maseches Moed Katan if the Isur is not the same? So he's got a good point, the Mishnah Lamelach. The fact that the Gemara in Moed Katan quotes the Isur of Mukdashin and Bechor would seem to indicate that we are dealing with a work violation which is common to Cholo Moed and Bechor. V'chein Piresh Rashi Behedya. The Kosav V'Bechor, the Ka'ovid Be'Malacha. That is Rashi's interpretation. Uksiv Lo Sa'avod B'Bechor Shorecha. It says you're not allowed to work with a Bechor. V'chein Psuli HaMikdashim. Tam Iso HaHarba'ohu Mitam Zeh Shaharei hu asur ba'avoda, ukimay shekasav Rabbeinu b'din tes, utnan kayotze bezeh beperik beis mimaseches para mishnah dalid, Allah aleha zachar psula. The pasuk says in Parshas Chukas, by Midbar chapter 19, that a para aduma is acceptable only asher lo Allah aleha ol. Which means, literally, that she has not been harnessed. And the way the Gemara understands it, it means she hasn't been harnessed for what? For the purpose of doing malacha. So if you do a malacha with a para aduma, it is disqualified into making the ashes of the para aduma. So here too, v'hatam mishum avoida. V'din ze lo shayach kan, to ka'osuk b'isur avoda b'kotchim. Daniel, okay, I'm not interested in that. I want to get to what I really want to show you. Then go to about 3-4 lines later, there's a dot in front of the word Ukvar he'erachnu b'chlal zeh le'el b'pirkin din zayin. And I already explained this previously in Halacha Zayin. Ela the Tama de Rabbeinu hu mishum de kra lo hikpid ela shilo yehei hu oved bikodchim kidichsiv lo saavod aval hamarbia hu eino oved ba ela ose peula shahabehema harovaas Ta'avod b'kodshin. V'zeh lo hizhir ha'kosuv. Ela shechachamim asru davar zeh. Shelo yehu siba shetei oseh avod b'kodshin. Says the Mishnah Lamelech. There are two animals that get involved in this activity. The marbia, the male, and the nirva, the female. Says the Rav, the Mishnah Lamelech, the halacha of the isur of working an animal who is a bechor or a kachim only applies to the female. The nirvaas, but for the male, the marbia, there is no isur de oraisa. That's not considered a violation of work when you mount the male on top of the female. And it's only asur midrabbanan. That's what the Mishnah Lamelech. Just give me 1 second. I know the question you're going to ask. I hope it's the Chassam Sofer's question. The Mishnah Lamelech, the Milchas Chinuch on page number 2 supports the Mishnah Lamelech. Based on an inference of the text of the Brisa which we just reread, says the Mishnah Lamelech, says the Minchas Chinuch. This is the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Tof Pei Gimel. The Isur Avoda Bebehemas Hegdesh, Navi Harav HaMechaber, the Chinuch quotes the halacha, the Ein Marbiyin Bebechor Velo Bepsuli HaMikdashim. that you are not permitted to be marbia bebechor and not psuli amagdashim. Bechol zem mevur berambam kan halachates mishas the moed katan yud beis amar aleph. Ayin b'mishnah lemelech sham shekasav de'egin lokin alzeh. Ki ein ha'isur rak midrabanan. The isur on the marbia who's doing the action is only an isur de rabbanon. Ulefize ha'isur hu dafka I behemas psule hamukdoshin hi ha behema hanirvaas hu dehevi avoda. Aval bebehema harovaas lohevi avoda. The haroveya Eino ose avoda, ayin shab. Look at the Mishnah Lamelech we just did. Ulidaati, and according to my idea, my opinion, says the Minchas Chinuch, davar ze nishma miloshon hashas the Moed Katan. This is derived from the Brisa in Moed Katan. De mevuar, it says there, ein marbiin behema. B'moed. You are not permitted to be marbia a behema b'moed, haynu mishum avoyde b'chol o'moed. Ukayotze bo, listen carefully, ki ein mabiyin bibichor, ubib sule hamukdashin. Re'ei shinui lashon. Notice the subtle change in the language. Gabe moed mivuar in relationship to cholosh moed. What does it say? Ein marbiin behema. You don't, you don't mate an animal. Velo kosav bibehema. Vikan isa bibibechor. Velo bib psule hamukdashin. Velo tani kemo gabe moed ein marbiyan bichor velo psule hamukdashin. It doesn't say it the way it does by cholosh moed ein marbiyan behema. It doesn't say ein marbiyan bibehema. By bichor it says ein marbiyan bibichor ein marbiyan bipsule hamukdashin. Ela al korchach says the Minchas Chinuch. Degabe roveya lo heve avoda ve'ein bo isur. Rak gabe hanirva heve isur. Alkein gabe moed tonistam. Ein marbiyan b'moed. Dahatam mishum avoda. Denehi degabe harova haroveya lo heve avoda heve avoda mishum hanirva. That even though there is no avoda from the vantage point of the mounting male, there is malacha being done, avoda being done on the part of the female nirva. So on cholosh moed you can't do it because we don't care who's responsible. Who cares? You can't do it because you're doing some avoda. Avol gabi bechor psulei amukdashin. The ain isur ela mishum hamukdashin. The isur is only if what? You are mukdash, if you are psule hamukdashin. So who has to be the psule hamukdashin in order to violate the law? The nirva, the female. Al kain imarbia osum al behemas chulin ain isur klal k'may shekasav ha-mishnah lemelech. If you had a male bechor or a male psule hamukdashin mounting a regular animal, not psule hamukdashin, a regular animal, then, as the Mishnah Lamelech said, there is no violation. Al kain nakat ein marbiyan bibechor ube psule hamukdashin. The ein ha isur mishum hanirva, ein isur rak mishum hanirva. Hainu sheheim yohanirvaim. Now, What question do you think there has to be?
Bechor is always a male.
Ah! A Bechor can't be a female. Bechor can't be a female. So what do you mean that the Isur by Bechor is only on the female, the Nirva'as? So the Minchas Chinuch asks this question. And what do you think he says? Comes up with a Chiddush blitz. He says, just as in the Parsha of Arayos, in Vayikra Perek Yuches, the Torah prohibits homosexual relationships amongst humans, so too the Torah prohibits homosexual relationships amongst animals. What? That's what he claims is talking, what the Torah is talking about in order to get Malkus. So when you take what? When you take even a plain animal, not a Bechor, and you are marbia it on a male Zachor, then you get Malkus. And violate the Isur of Avodah for a Bechor. It's a most unusual situation. Homosexual relationships amongst animals. Do they have any tava to gravitate? Does anybody know that the pattern of behemoths? Soon we'll have a psychological report and say that it's part of their genetic makeup. It's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. They're only attracted to male animals. I don't know. That's what he says. So that's how he takes care of the Mishnah Lamelech's issue. Because the Mishnah Lamelech kept on that it applies to Psulim and Bechor, it's only the Nirvat. What do you mean? It's only a Zachar. Hence, the Isur is only if you are Marbia, an animal, on a male Zachar. But if the male Zachar is the Marbia, and the Nirvat is not a Bechor, which it can't be, under those circumstances, the Isur min HaToyra does not apply. Kacha Omer HaMinchas Chinuch. On the next page, the Chassam Sofer says that is almost absurd. To maintain your gut of the Mishnah Lamelech and claim that the case of the Torah is talking about such a case, why don't you learn normally? What's the normal thing that if you're going to emphasize Babachar, upon whom is the Isur? Upon the Roveya. Not the Nirvaz. Maybe both, but certainly the Roveya. That's what the Chassam Seif is going to say. Let's read it inside. This is in his Tshuva, Simen Shin Hei, in Yoredei. Avoladina, he quotes initially the Mishnah Lamelech, and he says, Nirali Dochak Lomar, the Hazachar Eino Oved, Rak HaNirvaz. That the male does not violate anything, it is only the female who is mounted upon. Va'anan ipcha shaminan. We have learned just the opposite. The ilmole dichsiv beparshas arayos. Had the Torah in Parshas Acharemos not written, v'nichrisu hanafashot ha'osot loshin rabim. Had the Torah not written that the people who are involved in this particular transgression shall be cut off, Salkedaitach, I would have imagined, the Hanekeva Eino Bekores. Why? Dilav Ose Ma'asahu. That whenever you have a prohibited relationship, after all, the pasuk of v'nichrasu hanefashosa osos is not talking about two animals hitching up together. They're not called nefashota osot. Nefashot means two people, a man and a woman, who are not permitted to have relations because she's an erva, she's an eshesish, whatever the issue is. Why does the Torah have to emphasize hanefashos haosot? Because I could have imagined that only one of them would be guilty. Who would be guilty? The male. Why? Because the female does absolutely nothing. She's passive. The animal is passive. And therefore, if not for the fact that the Torah tells us that both parties involved, hanefashot ha'osot b'lashon rabim, the male and the female, I would have come to the conclusion the exact opposite of the Mishnah L'melech, that it's not the nir va'at, the one who had, the woman who was sexually attacked or had relations with, it's only the male. That's what I would have said. So therefore, to claim that by a behema, by a bechor, the only one who violates is what? Is the nirva'at. And in order to make it work by bechor, you have to say it's a homosexual bechor relationship, is ridiculous. Because there is no doubt that both of them will violate. And if you wanted to limit it only to one, it would be to the male and not the female. And therefore you could say that this Bechor had relationship with a female, not a male relationship, a female, and he will be guilty of Avoida because he is the Bechor. He, the male, is doing the Avoida. The woman, or the animal, is passive in nature. So says the Chasam Sofer. There is a very famous Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin in relationship to humans that says the exact same thing. Please go to the next page, a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. A very, very famous Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph and Ayin Dalet Amud Beis establishes the guidelines when an individual is obligated to engage in heroic sacrifice of his or her life. So the Torah normally says, if you are threatened to violate any aveira in the Torah, ya'avor va'al yehoreg, transgress and don't violate. Except for the big three, gilui arayis, avodah zarah and shfichas dam, murder, adultery, and idolatry. However, there are two other circumstances when you are obligated to sacrifice your life for any other mitzvah, even if it's not the big three. One is if it's b'farhesya. If the threat is held in public in the presence of 10 Jews. So if it's held in the presence of 10 Jews, you are obligated to say to this guy, like Clint Eastwood's famous line, make my day, blow me away. That's what you tell them. I'm not going to violate if there are 10 people present. A third episode is, even if there are not 10 people present, if it's Gzeiros Hashmat, if there is formal government persecution, and then you have to be willing to sacrifice your life, even for a minhag, as the Gemara says, l'shanuye arkisa de misana, even if they ask you to change your shoelaces from black to red, you have to keep on your black shoelaces if it's official government-sponsored anti-Semitism. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where I bracketed it four words before it, the Gemara asks the question, for ho Esther b'far hes yeheve, how could Esther have lived together with Ahasuerus? After all, every Jew in Paras u'Madai, in all 127 counties, knew about the relationship. So it's b'fahesya. So how could she violate it? Answers the Gemara, Omar Abaye, Esther karka oila moisa. Esther is passive. The woman, the female, is passive. And hence, since she is passive, she does not have to sacrifice her life if it's an issue of arayot. She has to sacrifice her life not to murder, not to engage in idolatry. But gilui arayis, a woman does not have to sacrifice her life because she is passive. Now, there is a machloikis in Tosfos between the Balamor and the Rabbeinu, right, the Baitam and Tosfos, and the Balamor in the back of the Gemara, whether Abaye's answer is limited only to a situation which is not really Gilui Arayos, but you are called upon to sacrifice your life because it's B'fahesya. Now, Achashverosh and Esther was not Gilui Arayos for two reasons. Number one, there is no indication in the text that Esther was ever married. Yes, there is a Medrash and a Gemara where the Medrash interprets the phrase Likacha lo Mordechai lebat. Darshins to Gemara, not Labat, but Labayit. And the Gemara understands that Bayit always means Ishtai, as the Pasuk in Parshas Achrei Mois. By the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, V'chiper ba'ado uv'ad beito, says the Gemara in Yuma, beito zu Ishto. But even if she were, so if she's single, certainly it's not Gilui Arayos. It's not. What it is it's hard to identify. Might be an Isur Lav, might be on Issa Midrabanan, might be an Issa Aseh, depending on what the Issa is for premarital sex. Or you can say that Achashverosh was a Gentile. And a Gentile having relations even with a married woman is not Gilui Arayos. It's prohibited, but it's only an Issa Lav, not Gilui Arayos. So it would apply under these circumstances. So why would Esther, the Gemara asked the question, because it was with in front of more than 10 people knew about it. That's why she was called upon to sacrifice her life, or we thought, and the answer is, because she's passive, she does not have to. But had it been real Gilui Arayos, then she would have been. Let's assume Achashverosh had been Jewish, and she had been married, then the Gemara's answer of Esther Karka Olam Haisa would not work. Kacha Omer HaRabbeinu Tam. The Baal HaMor says no. Abaye's answer of Esther Karka Olam He applies not only in the situation which was directly asked for her Esther Befarhesia Hevye. The Gemara could have asked for her Esther Gilui Arayos Hevye. Could have asked it. And the Gemara would have answered as well. That she's not obligated, even if it constitutes real Gilui Arayos. A Jew, Boel, and she's married, she still would not have to sacrifice her life, because the woman is always passive, Karka Oilam. So whatever it is, whether it's the Rabbeinu Tam, the Baal HaMor, this idea was stated by the Chassam Sofer. And that if not for the pasuk that says hanefashot ha'osot, I would have claimed that in all Gilui Arayos the woman is passive and therefore not chayiv kares, and in all probability not obligated to be moser nefesh in a coercive situation. So that's why the Chassam Sofer says that if I'm going to say that only one of the two are chayiv, it's going to be the male and not the female, because he is the one who does the action and the woman is considered passive and hence perhaps not subject to punishment, and therefore might not be subject to the Isur of Harba. I don't believe that it's true, but if I had to select one of them, it would only be the male, exactly the opposite of the Mishneh Lamelech. Okay, I'm again invite the Gemara. That was a brief he'ara.
So we talk about the Yisur on Cholavoy, making a Malach, that's how Rashi says, that's basically he's holding down the female. That's so Nimber, I guess, put it when you're talking about Nimber.
Correct.
So the person is actually doing Malach even though we're focusing on it.
That's correct. From Malach, I don't have any questions about it. But that it should be called a Voida for kodshim and alav. Let's continue to Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, first wide line. Ein midairin lo b'shabbosos v'lo b'yomim tovim v'lo b'cholosh ha'moed. Let's take a look at Rashi midairin. It's a couple of lines up in the Rashi caption. Midairin machnisin behema l'sodeh Kideshiyotziyo Zevel Umizablin Hasade. One of the most effective fertilizers is cow manure. So you are not permitted, says the Braisa, to bring an animal into a field not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov, and not even on Chol HaShamoed, simply to relieve itself, and thereby you will now engage in what? In fertilizing your field. V'imbo'u me'alehen mutter. However, if the animals walked in, it appears from this, from the simple expression, if they walked in any time, Shabbos, Yom Tov, or Chol HaShamoed, and now they go take care of their business, you do not have to chase them away on Chol HaMoed, Shabbos, or Yom Tov. V'ein misayin, O son. You don't even help them. Take a look at Rashi. Ein misayin, O son. Lebehema lavo basodeh. You can't, the first statement said you can't take the animal by the nose and bring it in. But what happens if I don't do that? I just help steer it a little. He's going in that direction, I give him a little pat on the back and he goes the other way. Or I give him a little whip and he goes the other way. And then he, until I get him to walk onto my field. I didn't bring him in. He walked by himself. I just encouraged him to walk onto my field. Oh, im nachrim heim. If Gentiles have brought animals, their own animals, onto my field, ein misayin lohen lahasion mimakom lamakom. I don't help them move them from place to place on the field. Kedesh tazabel kol hasadeh afilu bibon meyatzvah. Even if they come on their own, I am not permitted to help them at all. I can't help them. No help whatsoever. No help. Yeah. Let's just finish the braisa. Ve'emosrin lahem shomer lina'er estzonam. And we do not provide a shomer for them to guard the animals, that they shouldn't run away, they should stay there. Not permitted to provide a shomer for them on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. However, Haya Sechir Shabbos, Sechir Chodesh, Sechir Shana, Sechir Shavua, if this Gentile was paid not for the day, he was a weekly employee, I hired him to do work for me for a week, or I paid him for a month to work and he gets paid by the month, or by the year, or by the Shemitah, he's working for me for 7 years and he gets one big lump sum check at the end of 7 years, Messiah, O son, then you're allowed to help them. Umosrin lahem shomer lina'er istzonam. Then you are allowed to provide a shomer for them to guard the sheep. Rebbe Omer b'Shabbos b'tova. On Shabbos, it's only if he does you a favor. B'Yom Tov b'mizonos. You can give him food for doing this on Yom Tov. B'moed b'schar. And on Chol HaShomoed, you can even pay it. Amar Rav Yosef, Hilchos HaKarebi. So Rav Yosef says, the halacha is like Rebbe. So now let's understand a couple of things, what's happening here. What's happening here? So first of all, what is midairin? We said, Rashi said it means walking around to be mizabel. Now, mizabel itself is a tolda of either Zoreya or of Choresh, plowing or planting. But that's if you by hand take fertilizer and put it on the ground. So therefore it's undoubtedly Asur on Shabbos and on Yom Tov and Chol HaShamoed. Because it's a real malacha. It's a tolda of an Av malacha. It's a tolda. Here, you didn't take anything, you didn't take fertilizer and put it on the ground. Your animal's walking around. So therefore, it's not really mizabel, it's mechzei kimizabel. It looks like you're fertilizing, but al pidin, it's not an isur melacha. It's not mizabel mamish. Not mizabel mamish. And as a result, or as other Rishonim say, what they did was the animals, they're looking for a place to sleep, to camp out for the night. So you want to make sure that they camp out on your field, so in the middle of the night, when they relieve themselves, lo and behold, your field has been fertilized. But in either case, it's not that you're doing it. It's being done by itself. And, yeah. Now, so what's the Isur? So if you're talking about that they walked in by itself, obviously there is no Isur. But the Gemara, the Braisa, talks about two cases. A Gentile walked in, and the Braisa says that you are not permitted to help them if a Gentile walked in. You're not allowed to help them yourself, and you're not allowed to help them with them. Why not? Because the answer is, it appears as if what? You told them to do it on Chol HaShamoed or on Yontif or on Shabbos. You told them to do it. That's why most Rishonim say it's Asur, because it appears as if you instructed them or hired them on Chol HaShamoed. On Chol HaShamoed or on Yontif. Now, why is it that if they are a Schir Shabbos or a Schir Chodesh, are you allowed to help them? Why are you allowed to help them? And why are you allowed to provide a Shomer for them? Because once they are a Schir Shabbos, so then they're not a Schir Yayin. They're more like a Kablon. And a Kablon, when he does Melacha, what do we say is normally the situation? He's doing it for himself. Now we've learned 15 times the last couple of weeks that if the Kablon is building, you got to stop him because he's doing a real malacha. Here he's not really doing a malacha. So therefore, if he's a Kablon, he's not getting paid daily, and he's not doing a real malacha, this Braisa allows you to allow him to do it, and you can even help him as well. And you can provide a shomer for them, because shmira does not constitute malacha. What malacha is sitting there making sure the animals don't run away? That's not a malacha either. So the premise of this particular Gemara is that if we can somehow remove the concern that I asked them to do it, which is the only concern about Ein Medayrin if it's a Gentile, if you can remove that, how? By converting him to a definite Kablon, all of the restrictions happen to disappear. The restrictions disappear. And Rashi adds one other caveat. Take a look at Rashi Misayin. Why are you allowed to do so? Ki'ilu shel nachrihu. Because since who's leading these animals? The Gentile. It looks like whose animals are they? To the Gentiles. So what am I doing? I'm helping direct the Gentile's animal. Gentile wants to walk around in my field. There's no prohibition about doing it. Especially because he's not doing a malacha. If he was doing a real malacha, of course I would have to tell him to stop. But here he's not doing a malacha. And that's what Rashi says. V'ose nachri b'shabbos v'yonu misayin b'moed d'lo torach malacha kilomar l'cholim l'saye l'oso socher l'dayer. I'm allowed to because this is not tircha of any malacha. It might be a little tircha walking around, but we're not going to prohibit walking around. Yeah. Now, in Rebbe's statement, Rebbe puts a little limitation on this rather liberal position of the Chachamim. Rebbe said, "B'Shabbos b'tova, the Gentile can do you a favor on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you can offer him a meal. And on Chol Shemoed, you can even pay him for what he's doing." The question is, on which statement of the Tanakhama in the Brisa is Rebbe commenting? There are several components of the Tanakhama statement. Which one is he commenting on? So the Karen Ora says that Rebbe's words are not disagreeing with the Tanakhama at all, but are rather mifarshim divrei Tanakhama. The Tanakhama had said, "Im haya sochir Shabbat, schir chodesh, schir shana, schir shavua, misayin oso." You're allowed to help them. Comments Rebbe, okay, if that's the case, I'm going to put a little limitation on, and this is what the Chachamim agree as well. If the Gentile works on Shabbos, after Shabbos, you can't pay him for it. If the Gentile works on Yontiv, you can't pay him for it. What can you do? You can provide him a meal. On Chol HaShamoed, you can pay him. That's Rebbe's addition going on the Tanakhama's opinion, and there is no machloikus here. It's just Rebbe ba lifareish divrei HaTanakhama. That's what the Karen Ora says. Now, look at the last five words of the Gemara, of Rebbe, of the Gemara, and tell me how the Ritva claims, and he didn't comment on the Karen Ora, but he claims that such a pshat is intolerable. Rabbi Yosef says, Hilchasa k'Rebbe. What do you mean, Hilchasa k'Rebbe? If Rebbe is only coming to what? To explain the Tanakhama, what do you think Hilchasa k'Rebbe? The Tanakhama agree with him. He could have said, Hilchasa k'Tanakhama, u'kedivrei Rebbe. What do you mean, Hilchasa? Apparently, says the Ritva, no. There's an absolute machloikis in this case. Namely, what would be the opinion of the Tanakhama? That if the Gentile brings in the animals on his own, I have it on Shabbos. You want to pay him? Be my guest. He wants to work on Chol HaShamoed, on Yontif? Let him pay him. What's the big deal? What do I care? He's a Schir Shabbos. What do I care if he's getting paid, if I give him an extra tip today? Doesn't bother me. That's how the Ritva learns the Gemara. That the Tanakhama say you're allowed to pay him, give him a tip for his work on Shabbos or Yontif. And Rebbe says no. He can only work for you for nothing on Shabbos. He can only work for a meal on Yontif. Chol HaShamoed, you're allowed to pay him. And that's the way the Nemuka Yosef also says this. Also says that. Take a look at the Rush. In fact, first take a look at the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef, the next page that we're up to. Here's the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef right in front of you. Haya Sachir. Im Haya Hanachri Shabal Dayer Hasadeh. If the Gentile who came to fertilize your field was Sechir Shavua, meaning Shemitah, or Sechir Chodesh, and so on and so forth. Misayin, you can help him. Umosrin, you're allowed to give him somebody to guard, to help guard. Dekevon demi'ikara, lav adata demoed heviosam. Since this is what? He did not specifically bring them in to work on Chol HaShamoed. Ein zeh mechaven melachto b'moed. It's not considered that he deliberately orchestrated the Gentile to work on Chol HaShamoed. And therefore, you can pay him, no problem, even if he works no problem whatsoever. Take a look at the next page, which is the Rush, who comes up with an interesting point. Tana Rabbana, Ein Midairin Sada Becholosho Moed, Perush Ein Machnisin Esatzon Ledir Litol Et Zavlam. You can't just bring them in order to take their manure. In Baal Ma'alein, Mutter, Ve'ein Messiah no son. However, Rebbe Omer, b'Shabbos, b'Tova, b'Yanta, b'Mizonos, b'Cholo Shomoed, b'Schar. Amar Rabbi Yosef, halacha k'Rebbe. Kosav harayvitzal, b'Yanta, b'Mizonos, peirush achar yom tov. Yitain lo deme mizonosav. When Rebbe said, claims the Ravid, that you're allowed to give a Gentile his meal money on what? For working on Yom Tov, if you didn't ask the guy to work, you have to give him the meal money after Yom Tov, or the meal itself after Yom Tov. But on Yom Tov, you cannot give him the meal. Why? Avo be Yom Tov, lo yochal imo, but you can't invite him into your house to sit down and join you on Yom Tov for the meal. Why? Because the ha'im mizamnes hanachri b'Yom Tov. You can't invite a Gentile to your home on Yom Tov, as it says in Maseches Beitza, gzeira shema yarbe bishvilo. We're afraid that if you have a Gentile guest, you will cook a little more on his behalf. And the halacha is based on the drash of Ach Ashe Yeochel Lechol Nefesh Hu Levado Yeosel Lochem. From the word Lochem, the Gemara darshins Lochem Velo Nenachri Lochem Velo Leklovim. You're not allowed to cook for a dog on Yantiv. You're not allowed to cook for a Gentile on Yantiv. So that's what the Ravid says. Veli Nira the Ach B'Yantiv Mutter. The Rush says, I disagree with that. And that when the Brisa said, b'yomtov, b'mizonosov, it means you can invite him to the table and let him share the meal with you right on Yontov. Why? Shelo osru chachomim el zamenes hanachri shehu rotza lichabdo umarbe manot bishvilo. It's only if it's a distinguished guest for whom you would add a portion or a course, something like that. Avo im yeshli soel avodim ushvachot nachrim. But if you have help in the house, maids or male slaves, of course you're allowed. They're allowed to eat. Ochlin imo biyomtov. V'lo ra'inu mi shenizhar mizeh. And we've never seen anybody avoid inviting the hired help. To Adrian, people who have full-time help, they can invite the Gentile to sit down at the table on Yontiv, and there's no problem whatsoever. Gam shliach nachri shenishtaleach li Yisrael ochel imo bebeiso biyontiv. So to an agent who's doing something for a Jew, he's allowed to what? Eat with you on Yontiv. So it is a machloikis between the Rush and the Ravid whether or not the mizonos has to be paid after Yom Tov or can be paid even on Yom Tov itself. Yeah. Furthermore, there is a Yerushalmi in Shvius which seems to indicate that Rebbe's statement is going on the very first statement of the Tanakhama in this Brisa. What is the very first statement of the Tanakhama? Ein B'Darim B'Yontov, Ein B'Moed. Right? What does it say? Ein medayrin lo b'shabbos lo b'yantar lo b'moed. Says the Yerushalmi in Shvius, Rebbe is directing his remarks against the Tanakhama. I, Rebbe, say it's mutar l'chatchila. You're allowed to engage in dayarin on Shabbos Yontav and Cholos Shomoi. And in fact, you can have a guy work for you too on Shabbos Cholomoi and Yontav when you're doing this. The only limitation is that on Shabbos you can't pay him. Yontav you pay him with mizonos. And on Cholos Shomoi you're even allowed to pay him. But me'ikar d'dina, there is no isur whatsoever on what's happening in the Braisa according to the Chachamim. I, Rebbe, disagree entirely and say the dayarut is mutar l'chatchila. Kacha lomed haYerushalmi in Masechet Shviyit. I tried to put it up. For some reason, Bar Ilan didn't have that Yerushalmi. It's in the Yerushalmi, but it wasn't in the Bar Ilan. It's very strange. I looked it up, and I was too lazy to run to the library to get the Yerushalmi and photostat that. Sorry, too lazy. That's point number one.
Is it a guy can do it, or that you? There's always a first.
What?
Is it a guy can do it on Shabbos and Yom, or even a shul can do it?
No. If it's the first state, a medayrin bebeim or bemoed, that's talking about even a Jew. Doesn't say it's talking about a nachri necessarily, unless. Yeah, Rashi says that. Ein madairin lebehem alavo basade o im nachrim ba. Or, but either or, Jew or Gentile. Jew or Gentile. It's not 100% sure how the Yerushalmi interprets that. It's possible that the Yerushalmi only refers to a guy. It's possible. I'm not sure. But Rashi certainly claims that the Chachamim were talking about both, so I'm not sure how the Yerushalmi would rule in that regard. Yeah. And there's one other thing. If you look at the Gra on the side of, oh, I don't know if you have the Gra on the side of the page. If you have the Gaon on the side of the page, so the Gaon writes in entry Bet, first look at entry Aleph. Schir Shavua, but the Gemara says that if this Gentile is a Schir Shabbos Shavua and so on and so forth, the Braisa just said Messiah also. You can help him. And the way we explained it was up until like everybody else, then when can you help the guy? Shabbos Yontav and Cholos Shomoed. Says the Gaon, Nichta Bitsido Bimoed. Messiah also Bimoed. The Gaon claims that there is another text. When he says Nichtav Betzido, it means on the side of the manuscript, the word B'moed was added. In which case, Siyua is not permitted on Shabbos and Yom Tov, only on Cholos Shomoed. That's point number one, which the Gaon makes. Next, Rebbe Omer B'Shabbos B'Toiva, Nichtav Betzido, it's written in the margin, Piresh Dekoi Aresha, Be'eno Schar Shabbos. This statement of Rav of Rebbe is not talking about where he was a Schir Shabbos, but on the Reisha, on the first case, where the guy, the Gentile, just walks right in. Uba'u me'alein mutter b'moed afilu no sein schar achar kein. You can pay him as long as you pay him when? After Yontiv. Ubisefer Schir Shabbos Messiah Dafka b'moed levad. And in the Sefer, where it's talking about Schir Shabbos, he repeats, that's only talking about Cholosh HaMoed. That's not talking about Shabbos and Yontif. Umos linro shomer lina'er af b'schar. So he, the Gaon, says that this applies only to the Reisha. His statement, his initial statement is only to the Reisha. And then what the only thing that applies to the Sefer is Rebbe. Rebbe's statement applies that you can pay is only for Cholosh HaMoed. Only for Cholosh HaMoed. So he has two things in which his text said only b'moed. In the first statement, where it says misayin oso, if they came by themselves, I only allow you b'moed. And then Rebbe, who says you can pay him or do anything, is only b'moed. Shabbos and Yontif can't do anything. Yeah. What? No. It could be that, could also be, it's also Nichtav B'tzido in the text. Because usually the Gaon doesn't write, that's not his style, Nira Be'enai. That's not, that's Rav Kiveger, that's not the Gaon style.
He says Pirish, what's the Nichtav B'tzido Pirish?
That it's Ko'i, that it refers to, I hear what you're saying, but that's not the Gaon style. He usually tells you what's doing in the text. That's more often than not the Gaon's comment. That it's referring to only this. On the margin, it says that it means benichta b'tzido perush. The text in the manuscript said it the way we had it, but in the margin or on the side, it said the way to explain it is only b'moed. That's the Gaon we see all over the place, and he changes texts all over. The Gaon wrote a whole thing just on the Tosefta, where he says Tevat Zeh Nimchak, this, just do this, and it's remarkable. Shaul Lieberman, who wrote the monumental work of Tosefta Kepshuta, the greatest work of from the seminary, who wrote the greatest work on Tosefta we have, said at one time that he went through all of the Haggos of the Gra in Shulchan Aruch, where he quotes a Tosefta, and he said it is remarkable how the Gaon was right so many times without having a copy of the Tosefta in front of him, just based on the way he understood the correct text of the Braisa should read. And Lieberman obviously confirmed it by looking at manuscripts. The Gaon didn't have manuscripts to look at, even though at the end of his life he realized what manuscripts can accomplish. And the Gaon went into Golos for 3 years of his life. He left Vilna and walked around like a peddler. Didn't tell anybody I'm the Vilna Gaon. Just walked around as a peddler, and he tried to make a living by buying and selling manuscripts. And he tried to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he couldn't get there for some. He got stuck. Furthest he got was Turkey, but he didn't get to Eretz Yisrael. And his students got there. Talmidei Agra got to Yerushalayim, and that's why there's Minhag Yerushalayim all over his Minhag Agra. But the Gaon himself understood later, and that's why that was the business which he decided to enter, buying and selling manuscripts. But Shaul Lieberman testified that the Gaon did not have manuscripts of the Tosefta that weren't available, and yet his comments by saying, oh, this is the wrong text, just change it to this, were on the mark about 90% of the time. It just speaks volumes about the Gaon, how he understood the Tosefta. Alright, we'll stop here. Now, next week is Washington's President's Day. Are we having a share on President's Day? Yeah? Any preference for the morning? Preference for the morning? Yeah? You're working? Okay. Okay, so you're also working? Morning's better? How many people would rather have morning than an evening? Not compelling. So it's night. It's at night. We'll keep it on at night.